Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the word that you have given us that gives us clarity and truth, and that it brings all of us into the unity of the Spirit. And we ask, Lord, that you cleanse the church and us individually and bring us into that body, into the whole body as undefiled vessels that emulate your Son Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for your word that keeps us on that road of clarity of mind, body, and spirit. And Lord, keep us from any false witnesses and from people who would steer us away from you, Father. And I ask, Father, that you anoint us today to give out this word on how to have a holy, blessed fellowship. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I want to start out by saying that, you know, that today's Christian world, there's a lot of false voices and leaders and corrupt people that lead others astray. And they're not necessarily always religious leaders, but they are corrupt people from whom we need to separate so that we don't get the judgment that's coming on to them. A lot of people come under judgment because they unite themselves with those who are corrupt. And that includes false leadership in Christianity. How many of you want to partake of the curses that are upon these people that have usurped their position in the kingdom? Then if you don't, you need to come out from among them and be separate, or you will get the same judgment that they're going to get. Revelation 18 and 4 says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." Number 16 and 25, "And Moses rose up, went in unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs." That means be separated from all their thoughts and their doings, lest you be consumed in all their sins. Listen, if you're touching something, you're not separated, are you? 27, "So they get them up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little ones. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. And if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the ground open its mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down alive into Sheol, then you shall understand that these men have despised the Lord." Now, being swallowed alive by the earth, as we already know, represents being swallowed up by the flesh. 1 Timothy 5 and 6, "But she that giveth herself to pleasure is dead while she liveth." We're not here, folks, to please the flesh or to be consumed by the flesh. That there are people who are in rebellion against God that are going to be delivered over to their flesh. They'll not be able to overcome that flesh because of that rebellion that they have. The Lord is saying to separate yourself from the people who live after the lust of their flesh so that you're not swallowed up by the curse that's on them. And it has to be important to us that God's body be holy and separated from these people, because people in willful disobedience need to be judged. And of course, if they're repentant and if they're turning away from their sin, then we ought to encourage them as well. But if they're happy to sit in the midst of their sins and want to use doctrine to justify themselves, then they need to be separated. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened." And he commands us there to be separated from these people so that the whole body is not leavened or considered by God to be leavened. Now, in whatever place you are, you always want that body to come into the blessing and provisions of God. And when God reveals these people and you can see that he has turned them over to be consumed by their flesh, then you need to make a separation. Because if you don't, their curse is going to be upon you, or at the very least, you'll not enter into the blessings. The Lord said, "Come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." And that's what he commands of us today. God wants a holy people. He wants a holy body, holy individuals. And if you know people who are committing sins such as those that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, for instance, the Lord demands that you separate yourself from them. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, "I wrote unto you in my epistle to have no company with fornicators, not at all meaning with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous and extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company. If any man that is named a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat." And if you don't separate yourself from these people, you know that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. That's what the Apostle Paul said when he spoke in the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness and iniquity, or what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath a temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So he says, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and don't touch the unclean thing, and I shall be a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. Ooh, glory to God. Well, the Israelites, they once again rose up against the Lord, and he sent another judgment upon them because they rebelled against Moses again. Numbers 16 and 41. "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take thy censer and put a fire therein from off the altar, and lay incense thereon, and carry it quickly unto the congregation, and make atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses, spake, and ran into the midst of the assembly, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, And he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died by the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tent of meeting, and the plague was stayed. So we see here that the Lord needed to continue sanctifying the body because there were still some of those out there who were rebellious among them. And God told him that he was going to raise up a voice of the Lord to separate the righteous people from the wicked. Verse 18, he says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now, this is not only speaking of Jesus who was to come, but it's speaking also of the man-child corporate body in the day that we're in right now. And they're coming also to separate the righteous people from the wicked. He says, touch no unclean thing, praise God. You know, God is not going to bless a body if it's polluted by the world. Whether you're talking about the corporate body or whether you're talking about an individual body. And we also know that God first separates his people from the world, and in bringing his people out of Egypt is a type and a shadow of that. But after he brings his people into the wilderness, he separates them again. He separates the leaven out of their midst. Those who worship false gods, those who are in rebellion and serve their own flesh. You remember in Exodus 32 where the Israelites went into the wilderness and immediately made the golden calf? That was the replica of the Egyptian god Apis, and that was the god that they knew. But of course, God was angry and told Moses that he was going to destroy that whole company because mixed into this body of people were spots and blemishes. But when Moses cried out for mercy, God was moved by him and relented. But he told Moses there was a condition that had to be met. Exodus 32 and 26. And then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, whoso is on the Lord's side, let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. The Levitical priesthood here represents the remnant, and God had made a promise to his people. Exodus 19 and 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be mine own possession from among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So the Levites gathered themselves together, and the first thing Moses told them was in Exodus 32 and 27, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, put ye every man his sword upon his thigh, and go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. The Bible says that about 3,000 people fell after the Levites did that, what the Lord had commanded. And Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, yea, every man against his son and against his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. God pronounced a curse, destruction against the whole body. And he had told Moses in Exodus 32 and 10, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. But you know, he turned around, he said he repented, he listened to Moses, and instead decided to separate from the body those that had sinned against him. And the priests of the Lord who served the true God had to put to death these people who worshiped a false god. And in doing that, the whole body received a blessing. Exodus 32 and 33, and the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And so we see this separation was necessary to sanctify the body. Hagiosmos, the Greek word for sanctification, means separation unto God. It means purity. It means holiness. Sanctification has to come before blessing. God has to separate us from the world. He has to separate us from those who are leaven and those who are carnal. He's making a spotless, blemishless body. The spots and blemishes in our midst are people who refuse to walk after the Lord. 2 Peter 2 and 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of defilement and despise dominion, daring, self-willed, they tremble not to rail at dignities. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, bring not a railing judgment against them before the Lord. But these as creatures without reason, born mere animals to be taken and destroyed, railing in matters whereof they are ignorant, shall in their destroying surely be destroyed, suffering wrong as the hire of wrongdoing, men that count it pleasure to revel in the daytime, spots and blemishes, reveling in their deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unsteadfast souls, having a heart exercised in covetousness, children of cursing, forsaking the right way, they went astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the hire of wrongdoing. Jude 12. These are they who are hidden rocks or spots in your love feast. When they feast with you, shepherds that without fear feed themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn leaves without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, wild waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars for whom the blackness of darkness hath been reserved forever. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, showing respect of persons for the sake of advantage. So how do we deal with people like these? Do we take up a physical sword and whack her head off? No, we don't do that. Those are all types and shadows, parables, and what we have to do is discover how they're fulfilled in us in the New Testament. And the New Testament tells us to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we correct them or we separate them. Do you permit people around you to walk in sin and defile the body of Christ? Or do you do something about it? As God commanded us, He gave us instructions in how to use the sword, Matthew 18 and 15. And if thy brother sin against thee, go show him his fault between thee and him alone. If he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And if he hear thee not, take with thee one or two more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established. And if he refuse to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he refuse to hear the church also, let him be unto thee as the Gentile and the publican. So you have to deal with that sin. God is forcing us to deal with this sin because that sin will corrupt the whole church. 1 Corinthians 5 and 6 says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as you are leavened. 13, Put away the wicked man from among yourselves. God wants you to deal with him. He wants you to fight with the sword of the Spirit against the enemies of God, against these spirits that rule other people. You want them to submit to God because you don't want to have to separate them from the body. But that's the next step. I'm talking about those walking in willful sin and not about differences in doctrine, because people have to grow up in knowledge and understanding, and you got to help them mature. And in number 16, we see the same kind of a situation. We see that the Israelites were worshiping a false god. They called it the Lord, YHWH, or Elohim, but it was a golden calf, wasn't it? The nature of their god was not the nature of the name that they put on it. So in type, that represents the false leaders. God separated his people by false leaders. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram led the people against Moses and Aaron. They were trying to usurp their authority, and they were not ordained of God to do that. Just as today, just like today, there are a whole bunch of false leaders out there that are not ordained of God. That same Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rebellion is happening today in the spirit. Apostate leaders are usurping a position over God's people, and they're leading them away from Moses or Jesus. These apostates end up dead. They are swallowed up by the earth, or in other words, they're overcome by their flesh. How many times have you seen preachers justify being overcome by the lust of their flesh on TV? Those leaders corrupt the whole body around them when they do that. Because people think, if it's okay for him to do it, it's okay for me to do it. Well, God's going to judge them. He allows them to become more and more reprobate in their mind and more corrupt and overcome by their flesh. And less, you can see it readily in their lives. How did God deal with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rebellion? Number 16 and 20 tells us, then the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves. And that word means to sanctify yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Here God was condemning the whole congregation because as a body, they were polluted. So what does God have to do? He has to make a smaller body that's not polluted. And when you do that, you got to separate the wicked from among them. And in this case, it was those people who were bound and determined to follow false prophets, false pastors, false leadership. Folks, I'm telling you, we're coming to a great division. And those who won't come out from among them are going to be reprobated. It happened in Jesus' days. Those who didn't come out of apostate Judaism ended up being reprobated. And they fought against the truth. And then verse 22 in number 16, and they, as Moses and Aaron, fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get ye up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And that's what Jesus did. He went into the sheepfold. He called his sheep by name, and they followed him. He separated them from those apostate leaders. Then verse 26, and he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. In other words, the Lord demanded, if you want to live, this is what you got to do. You got to separate yourself, get away from her tents, get away from her tabernacles, get away from her churches, and don't touch anything of theirs. And that's what the people did. And God opened the earth, and it swallowed up Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, along with their families, and all of their possessions. And then the Lord sent out a plague that killed another 14,700 people because they murmured about it. And when they murmured about it once more, he separated them again. Is God going to do that in the days we're in right now? That's exactly what he's going to do in these days. He's already done it. He's going to have, whether we like it or not, a spotless, blemishless bride. And he's going to get rid of the corrupt people in the midst of the corporate body. Now, of course, he wants to individually clean us up too. We're talking about two kinds of separation here. Sanctification for the individual and sanctification for the body. And this separation, folks, is necessary for the blessing. And the blessing in this case was that those who separated themselves from the rebellious weren't destroyed along with them. Why does he say, touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sin? It's because these people are corrupt. They are dead men. You know, the Lord said in 1 Timothy 5:6, but she that gives herself to pleasure is dead while she lives. There are people who are dead because they walk after the lusts of the flesh. They walk after the works of the flesh. Instead of becoming transformed by the renewing of their mind, that's the mind of the Spirit. Be renewed in your mind by the Word of God. Romans 12:2 says, and be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, God wants a people that are alive. John 6:53, Jesus therefore said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, that's the Word made flesh, and drink his blood, which is the nature of Christ, ye have not life in yourselves. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he that eateth me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. We have to have his life in us. And the Bible says in Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. If we're not partaking of the nature and life of Christ, if we're not eating his body and drinking his blood, folks, we're dead. There are dead people who walk in the midst of the body because they don't want to submit to the Word of God, and they don't submit to the nature of Jesus Christ. The nature of Jesus Christ is his name. And that Greek word for name is onoma, and it means nature, character, and authority. So we're not to touch anything of theirs. We don't partake of their thinking, their doctrine, their idolatrous religion, or their apostate preachers. Now, I'd like to share a little parable with you here that implies not touching is necessary in order to be sanctified, in order to receive a blessing. Numbers 19:11. He that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. Remember, you're not supposed to touch anything of these corrupt people, and that means don't be influenced by anything that they have to do or think. And sanctification represents being separated from them. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Touching is the opposite of separate. Touching is when you are not sanctified. You're too close to this dead person. The dead people are the ones we have to separate from. They ain't got no business in the body. There are spots and blemishes, darkness in this light body. They have to come out of the body. And if you do what the Bible tells you to do, they'll either submit to the Word of God, repent, and obey, or they're going to leave. And if you preach the word of God, they can't stand it very long. Folks, we've seen people come and we've seen people go. We've seen people become sanctified and holy and walk in the steps of Jesus. And I've seen others that don't quite fit in. They do all kinds of deceitful things and live in sin behind the scene. And after a while, they become offended. And then they leave because they can't stand the word. Folks, the word is the sword. It'll drive them out. And if you love and submit to the word, there'll be people who don't want to be around you. That sword will separate you from them. And that's a good thing, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. In other words, if you're not sanctified, then you're unclean. Numbers 19:11. He that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. So what's this touching the dead body? What is this parable trying to tell us? Well, we can see a good explanation over here in Ephesians 2:1. And you did he make alive when you were dead, talking about spiritually, through your trespasses and sins. And that means people who are walking in trespasses and sin are walking in death. And when you aren't separated from them, that means you are not sanctified from their trespasses and sin. And it means that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And the Lord don't want you to have anything to do with them. Ephesians 2:1. And you did he make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sin, wherein you once walked according to the course of this world. Now, the Christians who walk according to this world are dead while they live. And just like Timothy says, they're not alive because they're not sanctified. They're touching the old man. That's the dead man. Then it goes on and says, according to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. So we got people out there who call themselves Christians, but they're following the devil, and you can't get them to submit to the word. You can correct them over and over and over, but they won't, and they can't submit to the word because their nature is contrary to the word of God. Verse 3, among whom we also all once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The Bible says in Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. People who walk after the flesh are dead people. You're not walking in the light. You're not walking in the kingdom. If you're not abiding in the life of Christ, and that's partaking of his body and blood, you're a dead man. You need to be separated from the old man. He's dead and gone. Glory to God. Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That old man was crucified with Christ, and he's dead. And if you go back and touch him, if you aren't separated from him, and he rules in your life, then that's where this destruction comes from. Ephesians 2:3. Among whom we also all once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Folks, there's a lot of Christians who are children of wrath because they're not separated from that old man. That old man isn't dead, and they're touching him. They're not separated from him. There are apostate churches where they don't teach that when a person walks in outward immorality, it's got to be dealt with so that the body's not corrupted. They teach that greasy grace where everybody's accepted, so individually and corporately the whole body is totally corrupt. Ephesians 2:4. But God, being rich in mercy, For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have ye been saved. And of course, there's still people who are dead in their trespasses because they don't believe in separating from sin. They believe that they are a sinner saved by grace and don't understand that they were a sinner who has been saved by grace. So they think that they can continue to live as a sinner the rest of their life and still go to heaven. Those people are dead. This ain't a step over the line type of thing, folks. And if you're not walking by faith now, you don't have grace and you don't have salvation now. Are you being saved now from your sins and the curse? Don't say that you were saved back then. Are you saved now? Are you bearing fruit? Are you touching the old man? Are you living in the works of the old man? Paul says here that you're dead if you're doing that. And if you walk after the flesh, remember that the soul that sins must die. Either you're walking in life or you're walking in death. And he's telling you that there are people in the midst of the body who are dead and you ain't supposed to touch them. The flesh is dead, don't have nothing to do with it. We were crucified with Christ, and it's no longer you that live, but Christ who lives in you. So separate yourself from that old man and his work, both as an individual yourself and as a body. Let's read it again, Numbers 19:11. He that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days, meaning until you enter the rest. The rest is when you cease from your works. And we just read that the people who live in the works of the flesh are dead. The Sabbath represents when you cease from your works and you enter into the rest through faith in God's promises. Hebrews 4:3 says, for we who have believed do enter into that rest. Even as he has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. That's what the Sabbath is, according to the New Testament. So we have to separate. We have to come out from among them and be separate. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness and iniquity, or what communion hath light with darkness? A yoke couples two creatures together. And you don't want to be yoked to that old man because that old man is supposed to be dead. You aren't pulling alongside the old man. You aren't giving the old man equal time, are you? Because he's dead. He's supposed to be dead. And now you're in control and you're not supposed to let him lead it all. This is like those two stages of separation. The first separation was to come out of Egypt. Or in other words, separate yourself from the world. And the second was to come out from among those that proclaim to be Israelites, yet they walk after the flesh. They walk after false prophets and false leaders. 2 Corinthians 6:15 says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? Those who walk after the god of this world, even though they call themselves Christians, they're coupling Christ with Belial. Remember what Jesus told the religious people in his day? Even the religious leaders who were the heads of their denomination? John 8:44, he said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father, it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and stands not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof. Could the disciples who were following Jesus stay under those people? No. He called them out by name. John 10:3 said, to him the porter opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he hath put forth all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He didn't want them with Belial. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Well, we just saw both of these. The Israelites came out of Egypt, but they still needed to get Egypt out of them, right? And it goes on and says, for we are a temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, it says, listen, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. He says, separate yourself from these apostate people who don't want to walk that holy walk. Don't have any fellowship with them, because fellowship is giving and receiving. And you don't want to touch, you don't want to partake of any of their sins, right? Now, in the Old Testament, a parable was given to us about eating or partaking of unclean beasts. And we found out in the New Testament through Peter that those unclean beasts were the lost people of the world. Acts 11 and 5 says, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descending, as it were, a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even unto me. Upon which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw the four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and birds of the heaven. And I heard also a voice saying unto me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath ever entered into my mouth. But a voice answered a second time out of heaven, what God hath cleansed, make not thou common. And this was done thrice, and all were drawn up again unto heaven. Now, Peter got the revelation that God was sending him to the Gentiles, that God had cleansed the Gentiles through faith. And before that, he said he wasn't going to be defiled by those beasts, because they were commanded in the Old Testament not to partake of them. But this is a new thing that God was doing in their lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. If you do touch, then you're unclean. And that's what the parable in Numbers 19:11 is going to tell us. Then verse 18, and will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Well, quite often the scriptures will say children, but in this place God uses sons and daughters because it's really a higher meaning. Children or child magnifies the understanding that you are born person, but son magnifies a relationship. Jesus was the Son of God, and we manifest our sonship. And he's saying, if you don't touch these unclean things and you're holy because you're separated from them, you can be my son. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness or sanctification or separation in the fear of God. What happens to the person who touches a dead man? He becomes defiled. I guarantee you that Christians had the fear of God back then because the apostles would take the sword and separate you from the body if you became defiled. But today, the people in the church don't have the same fear of God. They don't understand that they can be separated from God. There's a lot of them walking in debauchery after the old man. They're yoking up to that old man, giving him equal time, letting him climb down off his cross and rule their life for them. They are defiling the body. Numbers 19:11. He that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. The same shall purify himself therewith on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. The third day could represent the 3 days that Christ was in the grave, or death to self. And the seventh day is the spiritual Sabbath. you are clean when you have ceased from your own works. If you partake in the death and burial of Christ, you shall also partake of his resurrection. Romans 6 and 5, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. You see, the resurrection life of Christ is manifested in the people that are entered into his rest through faith. Numbers 19 and 13 says, whosoever touches a dead person, the body of a man that hath died and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from Israel because the water for impurity was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. What's that tabernacle you reckon God is talking about? The individual tabernacle or the corporate tabernacle? Well, he's talking about both of them. Because no man lives or dies unto himself. If you are defiled and you sit in the midst of the people, you defile them. And as we just read, the Lord was going to destroy the whole congregation because as a body, they were defiled. He wanted them clean as a body. So he separated the wicked from them in order to accept the righteous. And we got to do the same thing if a person is walking in willful disobedience. Hebrews 10:26 says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remains no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. The wrath of God falls on those people who walk in willful sin. And if somebody's walking in willful sin, that person can bring a curse on you just because you're yoked to them by being in the same body. And at the very least, they're going to defile the tabernacle. And that's why Paul said to put these people out of your assembly. If they're going to walk in willful disobedience and don't show any repentance, put them out. Don't let them ruin and defile you and the people around you. Numbers 19 and 20. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from the midst of the assembly, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water for impurity has not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. And it shall be a perpetual statute unto them, and he that sprinkles the water for impurity shall wash his clothes, and he that touches the water for impurity shall be unclean until the evening. Well, is it still out of way? Yeah. It's a type and a shadow for us in our day. And so the person who sprinkles the water for impurity washes his clothes. Remember what scripture says about the bride in Revelation 19 and 8? And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Her clean clothes were a bright and pure garment, which is the righteous acts of the saints. Now let's see if we can figure out what this water for impurity is, because I think it's the same as a sword that separated the people and put to death that old man. Numbers 19 and 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the statute of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came a yoke. Well, praise God. That's talking about Jesus, looks like. Verse 3, and ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, and he shall bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. Well, the Bible speaks about Jesus being slain outside the camp. Without the camp is what it says. Hebrews 13:11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Well, the reproach was that Jesus was no longer accepted in the camp, right? He came unto his own, and they that were his own received him not, John 1:11. And just so you know, if you walk that holy walk, that same thing is going to happen to you. The camp will reject you. Those walking on the broad road will reject you. And that's the overwhelming majority of what is called God's people. And if we're going to walk in his steps, we also have a sacrifice to make. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. We sacrifice our old life as a living sacrifice so that we also are walking in this crucified life. And it's like the third day that we just read about in verse 12. The same shall purify himself therewith on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. And if you're not sanctified on the third day, if you're not purified on the third day, you won't be clean on the seventh day. Hebrews 13:14, for we have not here an abiding city, but we seek after the city which is to come. So we see that the Lord has called us without the camp. And this sacrificial animal that represents Jesus also suffered without the camp, or in other words, separated from the camp. Jesus, who was without spot and blemish, was brought forth without the camp, slain by his own people, much like the description here. In Exodus 33:7, now Moses used to take the tent and to pitch it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone that sought the Lord went out into the tent of meeting, which was without the camp. Folks, you're going to end up being separated from the majority of what's called God's people if you go ahead and seek the Lord with your whole heart. And if you're going to be like Jesus, who was rejected by his own people, you're going to go forth without the camp just like him. And you're not going to mind being different from the worldly church. And if you do mind, then you're touching a dead body, and you're not going to be sanctified. And here's another place you can see this clear. Exodus 19:14. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their garments. Moses was ordained on the mount, and he brought the word of God to the people of God. Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness or sanctification, no man shall see the Lord. So we have to be separated. And we also need to wash our garments if we want to see the Lord. And that's what sanctification is. It's washing our garments. Exodus 19:15. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not near a woman. What does that mean? Y'all remember the 144,000? Revelation 14:1. And I saw and behold the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his father written on their forehead. These are they that were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were purchased from among men to be the firstfruits unto God and unto the Lamb. They weren't defiled with women, because women throughout the whole scripture were depicted as different sects of God's people. So spiritually speaking, the command to come not near a woman is a command to separate yourselves from the denominations, sects, and divisions of God's people. Jesus said in John 10:16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. When Jesus came, he separated his people. He went into the sheepfold, called his own by name, and they came out. And they became one flock with one shepherd. But that's not what they were before. They were members of the different sects of Judaism. They came out of those to follow Jesus and to become one with each other and one with him. And today, once again, God is calling his people to come out from among them and be ye separate. Glory to God. Well, I hope you take this and apply it to your own life. And I praise God that we're going to have a lot of people get sanctified in the days ahead. I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you again next time, God willing.